FM News.
At 6, I'm Brendan O'Loughlin. Good evening. Graham Dwyer has been found guilty of murdering Elaine O'Hara. The Fox Rock architect closed his eyes and shook his head after the jurors all agreed that he stabbed the childcare worker to death at Killikee Mountain. 90LFM's crime correspondent Frank Graney reports.
Reporters, lawyers, Gardaí and members of the public dashed to Court 13 just before 3:30 this afternoon as news filtered through the building that a verdict was on the way. All eyes were on the flickering green exit light above the door that separates the jurors from the courtroom. The 7 men and 5 women walked through that door 9 minutes later, and the guilty verdict was delivered just moments afterwards. Nobody made a sound. The accused sat in the dock shaking his head while Elaine O'Hara's family embraced and wept as their nightmare finally came to some sort of a conclusion. Graham Dwyer was arrested in October 2013, a month after a dog walker stumbled upon Elaine O'Hara's remains and a full year after he lured her up the Dublin Mountains to her death. Elaine suffered from depression and had promised to let Dwyer kill her if she ever wanted to die by suicide, a promise she took back on several occasions in the lead-up to her death. She was last seen at Shangana Park near Shankill on August 22, 2012. The jury was asked to consider whether Dwyer arranged to meet her there before taking her up to the Dublin Mountains to stab her to death for his own sexual gratification. And after examining several exhibits, including knives found at his workplace and in the Vartry Reservoir in Wicklow, combined with all the circumstantial evidence heaped against the accused during a trial that lasted over 40 days, the jurors were satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that he alone was Elaine O'Hara's killer. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt thanked the jurors for their work and excused them from duty for 30 years. Mr. Dwyer will be handed the mandatory life sentence when he appears in court again next month. 90LFM, first for Dublin News.
In a statement, Elaine's family say they hope the case highlights the need to act safely online. Dwyer's legal team have also released a statement. He's thanked his family, friends and colleagues for their continued unwavering support and says he won't be making any further comment on the case. Well, senior Gardaí have been speaking to the media at Garda headquarters. Frank joins us from there now. Frank, can you tell us what they've been saying?
Well, all of the senior Gardaí involved first paid tribute this evening to the O'Hara family, and they thanked all of the investigators involved in bringing Graham Dwyer to justice, including the lead prosecutor, Mr. Sean Geeran. This investigation really drew from all of the various resources available to the force, and during the trial we heard, of course, that a lot of evidence was extracted from mobile phones, laptops and other electronic devices, and Chief Superintendent Dermot O'Sullivan said this evening that it really showed off the expertise now available to An Garda Síochána.
The investigation reflected the era of information technology in that it married detailed and sometimes minute information derived from fundamental policing with the most sophisticated of technological systems. This resulted in piecing together the complex picture of events.
We also heard from Garda James O'Donoghue this evening. He's the Garda you might remember, who's based at Roundwood Garda Station, who waded into the reservoir at Vartry after some local anglers brought some items that they'd fished out from the water into the local Garda station. And after he waded in, he found Elaine O'Hara's keys, and that contained a Dunstore's loyalty card. And that, of course, was what traced the items back to the childcare worker. And when he was speaking to reporters this evening, he was very humble.
Just in relation to that find, I believe that the nature of these items, that any member of An Garda Síochána who would have come into possession of any of these items would have acted in the exact same manner I did, and I'm absolutely sure of the same outcome if another guard had been involved as well.
Okay, and Frank, did we hear from Elaine O'Hara's family this evening?
No, Elaine O'Hara's family left court in a car. They didn't speak to any of the reporters, but Graham Dwyer hasn't officially been sentenced yet. I mean, a murder charge does attract the mandatory life sentence, but there'll be a sentence hearing on April 20th, towards the end of April, and the family will then be given an opportunity to submit victim impact reports into court on that day.
Okay, Frank has been to visit some of the locations central to Elaine's murder. Those videos are available to watch on 98fm.com. 98FM News has learned that 2 people using homeless services have died in South Dublin within 2 weeks. One man who was sleeping in a tent died when he rolled into the Grand Canal, while a woman died by suicide. 98FM's Dublin reporter Maria Shannon brought this exclusive story back from a night with Clondalkin Helping Homeless.
When we heard about the first person passing away, we were really shocked. Like, we'd literally only been talking to her on the Sunday, and then the other guy, we think we've seen him about 2 or 3 times, and he everything he told us, where he was staying and the canal, and that's shocking.
Volunteer Vanessa Mulhall describing how the group was rocked by the recent deaths. They were some of the suburban homeless who are out of sight and out of mind, fatalities that go largely unreported. Since last November, Vanessa and fellow volunteer Maeve Murphy have been braving the elements in Rolla and Clondalkin village, giving out food and clothing.
Tonight I got a surprise, because that gentleman hadn't been here before, and he stood here in his short sleeves and his trousers, and I asked him had he got a jacket, no, or a jumper, but I do keep a stock of clothing in my car.
Local councillor Francis Timmins says 225 people in South Dublin are homeless, 75 in Clondalkin alone.
We need a hostel in somewhere, either in North Clondalkin or within the surrounding areas, that has a soup kitchen on the side so we could actually provide a service.
South Dublin County Council have told 98FM News that their homeless services haven't been officially notified of any deaths in recent months. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
A Dublin teenager who's been in prison in Egypt since August 2013 has been moved to a new jail, which his family say is known for its torture chambers. Ibrahim Halawa was arrested after taking part in a political protest while on holiday in Cairo. Here's 98FM's Rebecca Horan.
Ibrahim, who's 19, is facing the death penalty as part of a mass trial which has been repeatedly delayed. He's been charged with taking part in an illegal protest. His sister Samaya spoke to 98FM News at a family press conference earlier.
They have to stay naked the first 3 days with no, just with underwear, and that's it. The prison condition is really, really, really bad.
Tomorrow, a protest will be held outside the Department of Foreign Affairs to highlight Ibrahim's case. 98FM. First for Dublin News.
A 41-year-old man's been charged with murdering a woman in Rathmines more than 20 years ago. Howard Kelly of the Ospreys in Naas is accused of murdering Margaret Seary at Kenilworth Square in October 1994. Her remains were exhumed a few months ago when Gardaí received new information about her death. After 8 years, Dermot O'Leary says it's time to move on from X Factor. He's wished his replacement the best of luck on the most brilliant runaway train in showbiz. Laura Whitmore is favoured to take over. And a timely reminder that summertime starts this weekend. Clocks will spring forward by an hour at 1 a.m. Sunday. On the way, 98FM Sport. At 6, I'm Brendan O'Loughlin. Good evening.
I was only in the back garden, I heard 5 shots. Quick succession. When I ran over, there was more small explosions.
The search is on for the person who pulled the trigger in Dublin's latest shooting. A man was shot dead on Church Avenue in Drumcondra this morning. 98FM's Dublin reporter Maria Shannon is at the scene.
All that's left on this quiet residential road are scorch marks and glass on the ground and a burnt-out van that caught fire when the attackers set their getaway car alight. The victim, a dad of two in his late 20s, was shot while waiting in his car here on Church Avenue. His two attackers crashed their Audi A3 near the junction with Ormond Road, but Gardaí say the damage was too great to know what colour it was. Superintendent Finbar Murphy from Ballymungar, the station, has this appeal.
The concentration is for anybody who was in the area maybe for an hour or two beforehand who would have seen anything suspicious or anybody perhaps keeping surveillance on the victim of the attack, and anybody who have seen anybody running from the scene down towards Talca Park, Grace Park Road, in and about 11:30 this morning.
Local councillor Noel Rock says people in the area are stunned.
This isn't the kind of area that would see violent crime in general, and certainly not anything on this scale at all. From talking to people today, they've given me a great sense that they're, I suppose, quite upset, quite distressed, quite concerned about the whole thing.
Anyone with information is asked to contact Ballymungar, the station. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
Investigators say they believe the co-pilot of the German Wings plane that crashed into the French Alps crashed it deliberately. Audio recordings reveal he refused to open the cockpit door to the captain before pressing the descent button. French prosecutor Brice Robin has been giving chilling details of the flight's final moments.
We hear several cries of the pilot asking to access, but there's no answer from the co-pilot. And we hear at that moment breathing from inside the cockpit. And we hear this breathing until the moment of impact.
Well, here in Dublin, a book of condolence for the 150 victims of Tuesday's tragedy is opened at the Mansion House. Here's Christy Burke.
As the Lord Mayor of Dublin, I offer my deepest sympathy to all who have lost lives and their families, and wish the families the best of strength in the future.
The jurors in the Graham Dwyer trial have retired for a second day without reaching a verdict. They've been asked to decide if the Fox Rock architect murdered Elaine O'Hara in August 2012. Here's 98FM's crime correspondent Frank Graney.
The jury returned just before 4:15 this afternoon, and the foreman answered no when asked if they'd reached a verdict on which they're all agreed. Graham Dwyer was in a BDSM relationship with Elaine O'Hara and is accused of murdering her to satisfy an alleged desire to stab a woman to death. The jurors spent a day poring over certain items recovered as part of the Garda investigation, including knives, a spade, some clothing, a rucksack and a bondage mask. They've been deliberating for just under 5 hours at this stage and will return to the jury room tomorrow morning. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
And Frank has visited some of the locations central to the trial. You can see his videos on 98FM.com. The Dublin Docklands Development Authority says the sale of a recording studio to U2 was not a secret deal. The band bought the building in Hanover Quay for a fraction of the original cost. 98FM's Trish Laverty reports.
Serious questions were raised at a Dáil committee today as to how no one knew about the sale of a building to U2. Dublin Central TD Joe Costello.
For some reason you decided that this particular band should be the ones that would be offered it behind the scenes. No proper procurement policy followed, and it was done in a very secretive fashion.
The authority said its code of practice allows for an exceptional circumstance, and this was one such case. The building, which was one of two properties bought for €5.1 million, was sold to the band for just €450,000. John Crawley from the authority says they believe they got a fair price.
We were comfortable, actually, Deputy, that we did achieve open market price based on getting professional independent valuation and benchmarking it against a comparable sale.
The DDDA has agreed to give the paperwork on the sale of the warehouse to the committee. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
A 16-year-old's gone missing from his home in Ballyfermot. Daniel Murphy was last seen on DC's Road on Sunday afternoon. You can see a photo of Daniel and find out how you can help on 98FM.com. This year's X Factor auditions will start in Dublin. Hopefuls can try out at Crow Park on the 8th and 9th of next month. Some of you have been telling us if you'd give it a go.
Probably not. I'm kind of like stage fright a little bit.
I'd probably do it with my friends.
Sam Smith or Adele or something like that, like a belter song.
And check out 98FM.com for the first photos of some new arrivals at Dublin Zoo. 12 piglets and 3 lambs have been born at the family farm. On the way, 98FM Sport.
You're on 98FM's Hot Mix. Andy Clark here. Now straight to the Dublin News Centre for breaking news. Here's Brendan O'Loughlin.
Thanks, Andy. Good evening. It's 7 o'clock. Ireland has become the first country in the world to vote for same-sex marriage. Support is overwhelming, with every single constituency, bar just one, saying yes. The official announcement's just been made at Dublin Castle, where we can now cross live to our reporter Frank Graney.
Well, Brendan, history has been made. The Yes campaigners had plenty to cheer about from the moment the first votes were spilled onto the tables of count centres the length and breadth of the country, but they saved their loudest roar for last. The writing really has been on the wall all day, but it took the official announcement here at Dublin Castle to rubber stamp the 34th Amendment to the Irish Constitution, which of course paves the way for same-sex marriage in this country. Everyone is proud to be Irish today, particularly those who waited so long to be considered equals.
So homophobia is no longer a safe haven for prejudice. That's over. Those days are over. It's so much more than marriage.
I think it's brilliant. Like, the support people are showing is just fantastic.
Well, I get to go to Reese's wedding, so that's all I'm thinking about. I get to sing at the wedding, I get to dance at the wedding, and no one's going to say anything different about it, so that's all good.
A large screen with an interactive map of Ireland has been the main focal point here at Dublin Castle all day. All of the constituencies on it are lit up in green, except for Roscommon South Leitrim. The people there said no, but every other constituency voted overwhelmingly in favour of same-sex marriage. The party is now in full swing, as you can probably hear from behind me here, and I suspect Irish wedding planners are about to have a very busy summer. That's it from me here, Brendan, so it's back to you in studio.
Thanks a million, Frank. Well, the streets of Dublin are full of people this evening celebrating this monumental moment in Ireland's history. One of the leading voices of the Yes campaign has been mobbed at Dublin Castle after making a highly anticipated appearance. Panty teetered across town, followed by a cohort of supporters. 98FM's Maria Shannon is also at Dublin Castle.
Jubilant scenes here at
Dublin Castle as Ireland has legalised same-sex marriage. The announcement was made a short time ago by the returning officer, Rina Nilanala. Throughout the day, campaigners for the Yes side were being cheered on by the crowd. One of them was Candy, who teetered into a roaring reception.
I think the future for like young LGBT people is incredible now in this country. It's a whole other world for them. They'll be growing up in a country where they're going to uncle's weddings and cousin's weddings, and it'll be the most normal and ordinary thing in the world. They'll be growing up in a country which absolutely, on every level, treats its LGBT citizens exactly the same as everybody else.
The party has well and truly started here in Dublin Castle and around the city. It's expected to last well into the night. 98 FM, first for Dublin News.
Well, two groups of people in particular are being thanked for their part in helping win the referendum. More than 27,000 young people voted for the first time ever yesterday, and thousands more who live abroad came home as well. Mark Govran from Belgard travelled back from Australia.
The whole Come Home to Vote campaign has really given the campaign a last minute momentum. Expats coming back from as far away as Australia, Nepal, Uganda, they've all come back to Dublin. They're going to cast their vote, and it demonstrated how passionate young people are about their country.
And check out 98fm.com to see some powerful images from today and to see how the world is reacting to the news. We're going to leave you now with just some of the emotional reactions from today.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life.
It's a completely historic day.
I'm so proud to be Irish.
It's gonna feel real good.
It feels like a weight's been off my shoulders.
Make it right.
It's really hitting the heart really hard, because I was expecting it to be so close.
Just so proud of the people from all backgrounds, mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, sisters, everybody got out and showed their support yesterday for the people they love.
I can't describe what this feeling is. Incredible. I've cried about 4 times today already.
It's the country we're born in and raised in. I've just stood up as one and said, we accept you for who you are, and it's very moving to finally know that you're respected in the place where you're from.
It's gonna feel real good.